back to American Freedom Radio. We're into the very, very end of the show, and my guest for this second hour, and I've loved having you as my guest, Vinny. It's Vinny Eastwood from The Vinny Eastwood Show, also hosted here on American Freedom Radio. And if you haven't checked out his show, you've been missing out, and you need to do that as of tomorrow. Vinny, thanks for joining me.
What's funny is you said, Vinny, and what's interesting is yesterday I was around at a mate's place, and one of the little girls that he looks after said, "Oh, I remember you. What's your name?" And I go, "It starts with a V," and he goes, "And it ends with an N-E," and he goes, "Oh, Vinny, yeah, that's right."
That could have gone wrong. Now, we were actually talking in the break about something that I'd love for you to share with everyone who's listening. You were talking about the unintended consequences and what politicians do about unintended consequences. So talk us through that.
All right. So anybody in the conspiracy movement knows that any secret or conspiracy is like layers of an onion. You know, you peel back one layer after the other. And anybody knows that whenever a policy is implemented with a stated objective, often, not all the time, but often, that stated objective and the effect have a massive disconnect. So let's say you implement socialism policies in order to make everybody equal, and it actually winds up to simply funneling money into massive bureaucracies and into the pockets of the bankers as a result. Okay, so it makes everything much less equal. Now, the other side of this is those are the unintended consequences, because if there's an unintended consequence that also has a lot of other flow-on effects, it's just like an onion that has an unintended consequences, hence unintended consequences. However, a logical person will say, we implemented this policy to achieve objective A, and instead of achieving objective A, it did the direct opposite. Instead of saying, you know what, that was actually a bad policy, my bad, let's revoke that and try something different, they instead implement other policies that are on the exact same mentality, the exact same vein, that are even more expensive and even more ineffective, in the hopes that their delusions will somehow come true.
There are 10 minutes remaining in this conference.
You know, it is interesting that you say that. What springs to my mind immediately when you brought that up during the break was, of course, Ben Bernanke and the U.S. Federal Reserve's quantitative easing program. You know, we're now into quantitative easing. I can't even say the words. QE3 is what we're on now. And that's a perpetual easing program where I think it's $40 billion a month or something, and it has no sunset clause on it. It'll be for as long as necessary. Now, the name tells you everything you need to know about it. It's QE3. That means they've already tried QE2. And before that, they tried QE1, and they didn't work. But exactly what you're saying, they didn't go, oh, well, hang on, this technique is the wrong technique. They just said, oh, we just got to go again. Go bigger. Let's spend more money. It's yeah, madness.
See, and that's an unintended consequence, because they have a consequence and they add another layer on the onion in order to see if the consequence changes, but it never does. Therefore, you must be suspicious that whatever the consequence is to what they're doing is actually their real intention, that they're simply not telling you about until too fracking late.
Yeah, that goes right back to what I was saying in the first hour of the show, and just talking about all the things, all the reasons why I believe we're headed towards a crunch point. And one of the ones that I wasn't able to expand on is just this issue of the financial crunch that's coming, the economic crunch that's coming. Now, most people see an economic crunch as a bad thing. People out of work, people hungry, all the rest of it. But people who want to, in Barack Obama's words, fundamentally transform a nation. Well, never let a good crisis go to waste. Creating a crisis could actually be a vehicle for him. So it is interesting that you say that, because everything that he's done, all of his economic policy so far, has pushed us closer to an economic crisis. Now, I've assumed that he's simply incompetent and inept, that the advisors around him simply have no idea what they're doing. But maybe the guy's going to be smarter than I'm giving credit for.
You know what I think is going to happen? That the economic collapse will happen just after the next US election, when a new person comes in, and then when it happens, they'll blame it on the previous administration. Just like the Obama administration blamed all the problems on the Bush administration, and the Bush administration blamed all the problems on the Clinton administration,
yeah.
and the Clinton administration blamed everything on the Bush administration, and the Bush administration blamed everything on it's an endless cycle of we never take frickin' responsibility for anything! Yeah.
Well, do you think that's the end game, though? I mean, I am concerned about this character, Obama. He does appear to me to be an extreme egomaniac, and it has been suggested that
How can you become the president of a country without being an extreme egomaniac, especially one that has now billion-dollar election campaigns?
Yeah. Well, that's a valid point, but I would say that there are people who, most of whom haven't been successful, but there are people who have run for president without that size of ego.
And without success, might we know.
And generally, yes, you're right, and that's what was going on in the back of my brain. I was kind of thinking, maybe you've got a point, I don't know. But for me, people speculate that Obama's endgame might be that he wants to become, you know, the king, essentially, the long-term ruler of the United States of America, or that he wants to become the king and ruler of the United Nations as some one-world government or what have you. And, of course, as far as I'm concerned, all of that is genuinely pure speculation. But it has that ring of oh dear, maybe, about it. And if he could create a big enough crisis at the opportune moment and then step in as the savior, I wonder whether he might do that halfway through this term or towards the end of this term in order to prop himself up with all the powers that he has under the NDAA and so forth and be able to crush anyone who actually would oppose such a takeover. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that the New World Order takes a long-term approach to policy, particularly social engineering policy, whereby it is not a bright idea to have all of your tyranny and all of your brainwashing and all of your scumbaggery nuts and eggs in one basket, as it were. So what you'll do is you'll get a number of baskets. This is what I call a basket case for which you will spread out your scumbaggery agenda and take away everything from everybody as each and every single one of these baskets gradually drops and all the eggs get smashed on the ground. So I don't think the United States is at a point yet where it can very easily transition into complete and total tyranny. Lindsay Williams has told me that the elite do not want a revolution. They do not want an armed uprising. And I see the fact that the United States still has guns in the hands of the citizenry as an indication that they will not go into a hot tyranny until those guns are taken. Now, it'll take a number of years, maybe a decade or so, before enough brainwashing, enough demonization, and enough coercion is applied whereby people will give up their arms willingly. And I have no doubt that eventually they may attempt a takeover, as it will, but it will not be with a roar, it'll be with a whimper. People will not give up in such a way that will it won't be obvious to people what's happening.
It'll be designed to not spark a revolution specifically. I mean, look at what happened here in Australia when John Howard brought in his gun ban, which at the time, by the way, for the record, I actually supported at the time. Such was my ignorance, and such has been the radical shift in my worldview over the last decade of my life. But at the time, I supported the idea of taking guns away from people who didn't need them and getting them off the streets and all that sort of thing. And people willingly walked into police stations and handed them over for, you know, a fraction of their actual market value. In a gun amnesty, gun buyback program. And we've seen attempts to do similar things. You know, I disagree with you a little bit. I think the American psyche is strong enough, and I think that there are enough Americans out there who will stand their ground no matter what, that I don't think they'll ever get to the point where they can successfully strip the country of guns. There will be a percentage who will willingly do what we in Australia very foolishly did, but I think there will always be a very large percentage who never will. And I think the moment when they try and do that, no matter how subtle it may be, I think that'll be the moment when they spark the very revolution that they're trying to avoid. I am personally hopeful that the American people will not be duped and will not give any ground on this issue.
Well, you know, I have to disagree with you there. I believe that people over long enough periods of times of brainwashing and forced indoctrination of future generations will be able to accept any condition. That is why the United Nations now has a massive foothold in United States schools. That is why in their schools now they do not pledge allegiance to the flag and the Constitution of the United States. Now they now actually pledge allegiance to be global citizens. They are brainwashing the kids. And the lesson of history is that no free society is any more than two generations away from tyranny. And the United States has been living under freedom for quite a number of generations so far, but it's getting more tyrannical by the day, and it only takes the old guard, those who are experienced, those who are historically clued up to know what gun bans really, really mean. And in this context, I know we're coming to the end of the show here. In this context, I want to just explain to the American people, and I believe that this should be reiterated on every street corner, every television show, and every radio show, and every billboard, and every frickin' cigarette packet, and every chocolate bar wrapper. If you give up your guns, and this is the lesson of history, if you give up your guns, you eventually get enslaved or exterminated. Period. There is no other lesson in history that is more clear than that. And if you want it to be explained fully, go and watch the documentary Innocence Betrayed, which is on YouTube, which documents many cases throughout history where guns have been banned and the people have been enslaved or exterminated. Topher, thank you very much for letting me come on your show, man. It's been a pleasure and honor as always.
Well, there you go, listeners. That's Vinnie Eastwood. If you're not checking out his show on a regular basis, I encourage you to do so. It's right here on American Freedom Radio. Look up the times on the American Freedom Radio website. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll be right back with another episode of Topher's Unpopular View, the radio show, next week.